Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Miami, and her preaching is entitled Taken a Trip in 2020.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. My husband was gone for a very long time, and for a while I wondered whether he'd ever return. At the beginning, I felt kind of bad about it. We'd had a spat right before he left. I think I will never understand the fever that consumes so many men in their 40s, but I suppose I should have anticipated it would strike Casper. I mean, I had always known him to be smart and ambitious. Indeed, those are the traits that I had admired about him from the time we met. He was so much more studious than most of his friends, always hungry for more information, and always using that information in the most creative way possible to make a dark. When we were betrothed, my mother warned my father that Casper had all the markings of a charlatan, that he'd end up running pyramid screams, and not of the Egyptian variety. But my father said Casper was an entrepreneur and we'd never be poor. Casper promised both my parents that I was all a man could ever want and that once I was his wife, his spirit, which had always refused to be satisfied, would finally settle. And we did have a happy marriage, don't get me wrong, but I was never enough. And our children were never enough. And our wealth, for it did grow, was never enough. And his learning was never enough. And ironically, the more wealthy he became, the more freedom he had to pursue ever more esoteric studies. There was nothing he was not interested in. Our house was filled with maps and minerals. He was always brewing some concoction or another, but his biggest fascination was the stars. And I must admit, I grew so weary of he and his friends regularly staying up all night charting this and that, then sleeping much of the day, leaving me with the duties of running a household and many of his business ventures as well. So you can imagine that I had a few choice words for him when he and his stargazing buddies came up with this crazy idea to go on a trip together, and not just any trip. I mean, I could see a weekend away with your friends, but they were talking about a multi-month overland venture traveling to another country to lay eyes on a new ruler in that country. And what? Get on his good side? Lay the groundwork for a future alliance? I mean, like, why? So your stars suggest there's a new king in the land of Judah. And what does that have to do with you? What do you want from him that you do not have already? Why place your life and our livelihood in danger to make this trek? What does it mean that you want more in life? More what? More money? We have plenty. More knowledge? You've read every book there is. You are already widely regarded by everyone as brilliant. More meaning? What does that mean? Go. Go on then. I hope you find whatever it is that would satisfy you. And he was off, and good riddance. But after a couple days, I did begin to miss him. And after a couple weeks, I did begin to worry. No letter arrived by courier, but there was word in the market that Jerusalem, the capital of this land of Judah Caspar was going to, was all abuzz. Traders who'd been there talked of Caspar and his buddies visiting the palace of King Herod to celebrate the birth of his newest little one's arrival, except that there was no new arrival, and Herod had no idea what they were talking about. Where was this newborn king of the Jews? The traders said that the king was very interested to find out more, but Caspar had no information for him. The stars, in the end, can only reveal so much. And so Herod had his people tearing through other sources, looking for any clue whatsoever that might talk about where this newborn king was. And I began to feel badly for Caspar, to have made such a long trip without anything at the end. And how embarrassing to show up so certain and look like a fool before the leader of another country. But then a few days later, a letter did arrive. Well, not really a letter, more of a postcard. And all it read was, "Joy, joy, joy, dot, 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 I'm coming home another way." Some of the letters were smeared as if teardrops had splashed on them. And were these tears of joy? I was so relieved and yet so confused. Caspar was okay, obviously more than okay. But where was he? And what had he found? It was hard to contain all my questions when his frame finally reappeared in the doorway, thinner and grayer than when he'd parted months before, but with the broadest smile. There was something different in his embrace when he took me into his arms and pressed my head against his chest. And there was something so striking in his eyes when he looked at each one of our children, taking each of their faces tenderly in his hands one by one and gazing on them with such kindness. And I would like to say that I understand what happened now, a year after he returned. All I've gotten from him really is bits and pieces. A baby, a mother, Bethlehem, wherever that is. And when he tries to say more, his eyes get a faraway look, and he so often falls into silence. What I know is that he can sit like that in silence for long periods of time now, without any urgency to move on to the next thing, like calm has overtaken his body. And what I know is that the star charts are gone, and his library of books has been distributed widely to others in the city. He says he doesn't need it anymore. And what I know is that he lets the children play with his mineral collection, and that he now laughs at their stories rather than shooing them away. And what I know is that he often leaves his comfortable study to wander the tiny side streets on the other side of town and drink tea with some elderly Jewish migrants there, talking about such mundane things as the weather and the crops and old stories from their homeland. And why? I still do not understand. All I know is that Caspar went away on a long journey, and he did come back another way. He went away smart, and he came back wise. And if Bethlehem holds the key to that, well, then I should like to take such a trip myself. And I'm wondering if, at the start of this new year, you would like to come along with me.